Flames Radio. The Hot Stove Lounge postgame show starts right now on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
And the Flames are one win away from round number two of the postseason. That's thanks to a 3-1 Game 4 victory over the Vancouver Canucks tonight here at the Scotiabank Saddledome. Welcome to the Hot Stove Lounge. Pat Steinberg along with you here at the Dome. It's time to go from the Flames dressing room, brought to you by Regis Business Centers. Need to open an office in Calgary or get a team working in Edmonton? Regis makes it happen fast with office space wherever you need it. Regis, the new way to work. Call 1-800-OFFICES. As we go to the Flames dressing room right now, where Sam Bennett is standing by. Sam, it's your first experience in the NHL playoffs, and you've got a 3-1 series lead. Tell us about tonight.
Yeah, it was it was a great game. We came out flying in the first and second, and they pushed hard in the third, but we definitely held them off well.
So I guess just your overall feel as to how important it was to come out with such a strong start and set the tone once again.
Yeah, for sure. Home ice. We got some of the loudest, best fans in the world here, and we can build off their energy in the first, and that's what we did today. So that definitely helped us for sure.
The second period, you limit them to just three shots, and I know they pushed there a little bit in the third period, but your team seemed to do a pretty good job of managing the Canucks in the final 40 minutes of play. What were you able to do to make that the case?
Well, I think just chip pucks in, chip pucks out. And, just keep it simple in the third. We didn't have to do anything fancy. We just had to hold them off, and, we did a great job.
Tell me how you're feeling. A couple of goals now in your last two games. It's been a pretty good introduction to the National Hockey League and the NHL postseason for you. How fun has this been, and how good are you feeling out there?
Oh, it's the best experience of my life. I'm having so much fun. My teammates and my linemates are supporting me so well, and that's making it so much easier to transition quickly. So it's a blast out there, and I'm having a lot of fun.
Final thought for you: you've got Game 5 back in Vancouver on Thursday. Just a thought as to how difficult it's going to be to wrap up this series in a couple nights.
Yeah, well, the final win is always the hardest win to get. So, again, we're going to have to come out flying in the first if, we want to come home with the victory.
Sam, thanks for doing this. Congratulations on the win.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Sam Bennett of the Flames from the Flames dressing room, brought to you by Regis Business Centers. Need to open an office in Calgary or get a team working in Edmonton? Regis makes it happen fast with office space wherever you need it. Regis, the new way to work. Call 1-800-OFFICES. Pat Steinberg along with you here on the Hot Stove Lounge, joined now by Peter Labardius and Derek Wills, and also the associate coach of the Calgary Flames, Jacques Cloutier, following tonight's 3-1 victory. Jacques, a game away from round number two. What did you like about game four here at the Scotiabank Saddledome tonight?
I think we played extremely well defensively. Obviously we were looking for more shots. We got cute at some time, instead of shooting, we're looking for passing. But overall, especially in the second period, we played extremely well. We didn't give them much. They tried to push a little bit in the third period, and when we got in trouble a few times, Hills made the big save for us.
Jacques, a thought on Jonas Hiller, who I thought early in the first and down the stretch was a big difference maker.
Yeah, he's been playing good for us, He's making the key save at the right time. He's freezing the puck at the right moment. And, in the playoff, you need goaltending, and he's been real good for us.
A lot of people wondered if Michael Ferland, with all the attention he's been getting this week, would maybe get away from what he was doing to be so successful in the first three games of the series. Well, 8 more hits tonight. What more can you say about number 79?
He's been awesome, The thing I like tonight around the wall, especially in the third period, the Sedin and Verbata were coming on, and he played against them most of the night, and that's not an easy task, and he did a real good job around the wall, and obviously physically, he drove the net, he made really smart decision, and, for a young kid like this playing so well for us, we're getting contribution from a lot of guys, and he's one of them.
He is Jacques Cloutier, the associate coach of the Calgary Flames, joining us here after a 3-1 victory over the Vancouver Canucks. I've got to ask you about, you know that the Canucks are going to push in period number three. You know that they're, it's a very desperate situation for them. What did you like about your team in the way they managed that push in the final 20 minutes?
I think we kept them in the outside. That's one thing we did, We limited the point shot too. And, you know, they got some good shooter from the point. We did a real nice job. We protect the front of the net extremely well. We bought some time at time. We cannot pressure those guys because they're too slick. And I think we did a real good job in our line change tonight, especially in the third period. We're getting the puck out, and with line change, get fresh people, especially when they're those two guys, they were double shipped those guys for a while, and you need fresh leg, and those guys, all the guys, they were changing well tonight, and in the playoff is crucial.
Shaka, take a look at the block shot totals. 29 more, which this time of year, all those little things make a big difference, don't they?
Yeah, you know, we're trying to get no puck through, especially from the point, you know. We had a lot of blocks, especially in the third period, and it's so much easier on the goalie, but you got to sacrifice yourself, and our guys are willing, and that's why we have success right now.
Yuri Hudler led the National Hockey League in even-strength points during the regular season. He was eighth in the Art Ross Trophy race in the NHL, pointless in the first three games of the series, nominated for the Lady Byng Trophy earlier today, and seemed to have a real jump in his step tonight. Can you talk about his goal and an assist and his impact in this hockey game?
He played extremely well. I think tonight that line, they were on a mission tonight, and with a big power play goal early, a nice tip by Oots, and that line played extremely well. You know, they had some moment through the series, but tonight that was their best the best performance so far.
A few more with Jacques Cloutier, the associate coach of the Flames. I haven't looked at the final line yet, but I don't know if I really need to. But TJ Brody, 28 and a half minutes tonight, gets the assist. We were raving about him after Game 3. We were raving about him after Game 1. How good has Brody been in this series for you?
Well, you know, it's a luxury to have a guy like him who can skate so much and, you know, capable of logging a lot of ice time, you know. It's not an easy task playing 25, 26, 28 minutes every night, but, you know, he skates so well, and he's supporting the attack, and he's doing a lot of things right. And, and I think if you defensive core is playing extremely well as a group.
As far as some of the adjustments you guys made in the second period, because I thought you spent a lot of time in your own zone in period number one, did you just do a much better job on your breakouts and puck support, Jacques, in period number two?
I think we're trying a little more quick up like we're known for, and with good support. We had the second man closer to the puck, was able to support and chip the puck in, and that's why we were able to create something in the second period.
Question I kept asking myself in this game was, has the Flames' physicality in this series started to wear the Canucks out? What do you think?
Well, you know, it's the model in the playoff. You know, we want to try to ward the other team down. Every body check is important, and that's why everybody's doing it, and it's a big part of our team right now. Physicality and strong wall battle and pucks at the net. One thing, we should shoot a little bit more. I think we got cute a little bit at time. We need more shots.
It's been a little while for you in this situation at the NHL level, but take us back to prior experiences. How tough is this game to eliminate an opponent to win? How tough is Thursday going to be to come away with a victory in Vancouver?
It's always tough to close a team, especially going on the road. But the thing is, I don't think we want to change much. I think we have to approach that game like in the first period. We want to go right at them. You know, don't sit back too much. Just go at them and see what happens. I like our chances when we're doing those things.
Congratulations, Jaco. Thank you so much, as always.
Thanks, guys. A pleasure.
He is Jacques Cloutier, the associate coach of the Calgary Flames, joining us following tonight's 3-1 win over the Vancouver Canucks, and you can make it a 3-1 series lead for the Flames as they head back to Vancouver for game number 5 on Thursday night. My name is Pat Steinberg, alongside Peter Labardius and Derek Wills, and first time in 21 years. And I know the last time they had a 3-1 series lead, they didn't win it, and, you know, I put it out on Twitter, and people are like, don't jinx it. But for me, I think it's really significant. This is the first time in 21 years the Flames have had a 3-1 series lead. It's not something I'm used to in this spot. It's not something I'm used to, you know, working in at this radio station or in the media. This is a real golden opportunity for the Flames going into Thursday's game. More on that later. Just your overall thoughts of what we saw tonight, Lou.
I thought they were extremely opportunistic in the first period, in a period where, to be frank and as honest as I can, the 3-1 score that favored the Flames probably wasn't that indicative of the play, but Hiller was great, and Eddie Lack, in his own right, was a little suspect. A couple, not bad ones, but somewhat iffy. He didn't really give them any big saves, more than letting in bad goals. And I thought the Flames made great adjustments in the second, and then when Vancouver really pushed in the third, I thought they managed it well. And their defensive core as a group, and remember, without the captain, Mark Giordano continues to kind of pull it all together and bind it and find a way. But you need great support from your forwards to play that way, and a lot of block shots and good work collapsing, I thought, down low tonight around Jonas Hiller.
I think one of the main reasons why the Flames are where they are, and that's in the Stanley Cup playoffs, one game away from eliminating their rival, the Canucks, and moving on to the second round, they have been so opportunistic this season. And it's funny, because when we came into this 2014-2015 campaign, I think we were all concerned about their goal scoring. Would they score enough goals to win enough games to get to the postseason? Well, they were one of the highest scoring teams in the NHL during the regular season, and they've continued to be opportunistic in the postseason. They're not scoring as many goals per game, but the games are harder. The opponents are tougher. So the fact that the Flames have been able to capitalize on their chances, especially early in games, which again was a struggle for this team in the first half of the regular season, and not as much in the second half, and certainly not so far in these Stanley Cup playoffs. So I think a huge reason why this team has had all this unexpected success this season.
I will say this, you know, I'm fully with you in terms of the way the first period went. I mean, the Flames were extremely opportunistic. Didn't love their first 20 minutes of play, but loved their execution for sure when they had their chances. But I like the way they managed the game in the second period, like the way they managed Vancouver's push in the third period. So and that's pretty important. It's a Flames win.
Oh, look out.
Which means I've got a piece of beef jerky coming at me.
Three wins.
You gotta do
three wins.
Yeah,
you gotta be smart about this thing.
Are you gonna be in Vancouver on Thursday? Yeah. You better pack one of those then, or four of those. That's Ken King, by the way.
Didn't hit me.
Who's
with
a happy
one,
man?
Which is luck. I'm lucky because
you're lucky that
those things were hurled.
There's no darts in the hot stove lounge.
The cookie was still the best one.
Well, that's where
it
all
the
started.
Original.
If you're wondering, WTF is going on? The venerable president and CEO of the Calgary Flames
likes to throw food.
Throw some of the lovely
Who
Big
doesn't
Chief
like to
jerky
food?
Supply at me. It all goes back to a mid-season?
No, right around Christmas time.
So it would have been right around mid-season.
Rob Kerr graciously brought us in some homemade cookies.
That's right. That's where the cookies would have been from. So Ken King came in and just hurled a cookie at me. Didn't mean to hit me, but nailed me right in the side of the head. And
you didn't even break stride.
No.
To this moment, that's still my favorite part.
Impressive.
About what happened.
Left some cookie crumbs in this headset for about
2.5 months.
I still
see some
months
in there.
Wouldn't be surprised. So now the tradition is, after big wins, he throws food at me, and including tonight where he threw three pieces of lovely big Chief
one for each win in the series.
That's what I think he needs to do. See, now what I'm worried about is I hope it's not one win for each playoff, because if they move on, then we're talking about potential 5 and 6. And so I don't want that. Maximum 4 per series. I think
you can take
that.
Some for the team.
I am a good team player.
You are a good team player.
You absolutely are.
You're a good sport too,
How is this for a segue? Speaking of good team players, let's get to the hardest working Flame. Brought to you by Devon Canada, one of Canada's leading oil and gas producers. Devon Canada, focused on energy and committed to safety. Visit devonenergy.com. All right, Lou, who is tonight's hardest working Flame?
Maybe as hard a decision as I've had all season long. So I have to give 2 honorable mentions. Michael Ferland, again, superb, set a physical tone, ended up with 8. I'm not so sure it wasn't closer to 12 or 13 hits. Finished checks, got pucks out, as Jacques Cloutier talked about on the wall, made good decisions when he had it. Another exceptionally strong game, I thought, for Michael Backlund, who he blocked some shots and was shaken up a couple of times and was key again on that line with Colburn and Sam Bennett, and Bennett chips in with yet another goal, the 18-year-old. But I have to go with TJ Brody, because I thought he was the best player in the game. Forget about the hardest worker. I'm not so sure he wasn't as good as anybody that played on that ice surface. All those minutes, all the good decisions. made things happen offensively. We thought he scored a goal. He ends up with an assist, logged 28-32, blocked five shots. He was everywhere.
Yeah, he was dynamite
tonight. He was everywhere. And you know what, Derek Englund, in terms of, you know, honorable, I mean, the whole defensive core did a great job, but I'm going to go with TJ Brody.
TJ Brody, your hardest working Flame, brought to you by Devon Canada, one of Canada's leading oil and gas producers. Devon Canada, focused on energy and committed to safety. Visit devonenergy.com. Your final score here at the Scotiabank Saddledome, the Flames 3 and the Vancouver Canucks 1, as the Flames take a 3-1 series lead with Game 5 scheduled for Thursday night in Vancouver. And I thought Brody was absolutely dynamite tonight. And you know, carrying on from the work he did, Derek, in Game 3 of this series, where he was absolutely dynamite in that series, that game as well. I mean, other than Game 2, where, you know, not really anybody was overly notable from a Flames perspective, Brody might be the best player in this series, Derek. He's been that good.
Yeah, I'm not going to disagree with that.
Nor
I think that's
am I.
An astute observation, as a matter of fact. And it's not all about goals, assists, and points. Although he has chipped in offensively,
yeah, he's
too.
He's done that too.
But just the way he is composed in the defensive zone, the decisions he's making, the first pass that he's making to get it to the Flames' skilled forwards, he's doing so many good things. And we're seeing the old TJ Brody again. When he lost his defense partner, Mark Giordano, I think he went into a bit of a shell. He had to get used to a new defense partner in Derek Englund, a very different player. He's been really good, but a very different player for Mark Giordano. Had to switch sides, went from playing the right side to the left side. And he told me that was actually a pretty big adjustment.
It's a large adjustment.
Even though he's a left-handed shooter, it's all about the angles and getting pucks through to the net when you're not shooting from your offsides.
You
a little bit more difficult.
Stick positioning, yep. Angles.
Big change.
How you take pucks.
So he went into a bit of a shell offensively, but did a good job defensively, took care of his own zone. And that's the primary responsibility for a defenseman. But now he's become more and more comfortable with Derek Englund, and he trusts his defense partner. And I think that's important. So now we're seeing Brody join the rush, at times lead the rush. And that's something that gave almost every NHL team fits all season long, especially when they had to deal with both Brody and Giordano, and at times Russell doing it. But now Brody's doing it again, and he's become a very effective player. As a matter of fact, even though his stats were better in the first half of the regular season, I think this is the best hockey TJ Brody's played in his life right now.
Oh, I don't disagree with that. I mean, this is what we're seeing from him is dynamite right now. He's been great all year long. I think Derek's bang on, Lou. I mean, this is the best hockey he's ever played. It comes at a pretty important time.
And that's why you can make that statement. Yes, it is. When you elevate your game at this time of year and become as important and on the ice the majority of the time against the Sedins, he deserves all the credit in the world. He is playing just superb. He's playing the kind of hockey, and people won't want to hear this necessarily, but he's playing world class. When Canada starts thinking about the World Cup in 2016...
Why wouldn't people want to hear
this?
Well,
they would. But I always make international references, and people aren't always that high on that. But I think he's moving into that category. I really do.
Let's take a break and reset, because there is lots to talk about. The Flames take a 3-1 series lead on the Vancouver Canucks. They do that with a 3-1 Game 4 victory tonight at the Scotiabank Saddledome. Alongside Derek Wills and Peter Labardius, my name is Pat Steinberg. This is Flames Radio inside the Hot Stove Lounge here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Breaking down Flames hockey, Sportsnet 960. The Hot Stove Lounge postgame show is streaming online at sportsnet.ca/960 and on the air, Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
The Flames are a win away from round two of the 2015 postseason. That's because they take game four of their first round series with the Vancouver Canucks by a 3-1 final score tonight at the Scotiabank Saddledome. They now have a 3-1 series lead in this best of seven as we continue on tonight's Hot Stove Lounge. Welcome back, Pat Steinberg, Peter Labardius, Derek Wills along with you. So the Flames a win away from round two, the Canucks a loss away from elimination. It's time to go from the visitor's dressing room, brought to you by Okotoks Ford Lincoln. Visit their new showroom and see why it's worth the drive for a winning deal. Okotoks Ford Lincoln, big city selection, friendly, small town service. As we go to the Canucks dressing room right now, where Josh Humphries is standing by.
All right, guys, here at Bo Horvat in the Vancouver room, and obviously two games here in Calgary, not the results you guys were looking for. I guess just in your eyes, kind of what didn't go your way?
I think we made a few errors, a couple unlucky bounces. I didn't think we played bad in these two games. They're really feeding off the crowd, but we can't use that as an excuse. We just got to come out and try to win the next one.
What's that like for a road team? You mentioned the crowd there, and you don't want to make it as an excuse, but what's that like coming out there and having a crowd that jacked up when you go out there? That's probably majority against you.
It's definitely in their favor. As an opponent, you try not to let it bother you. It's obviously loud. Sometimes you can't even hear yourself think out there. But like I said, our fans are going to be like that in the next game. We just have to take advantage of that.
Obviously, penalties and discipline, I guess maybe not so much discipline, but the penalties is something you guys don't want to take, especially early on in the game, and give them those power plays.
Yeah, exactly. Those penalties killed us. We definitely have to stay more disciplined. I thought if it weren't for those power plays that they had, then it would have been a totally different hockey game. And we just got to stay out of the box.
Finally, get one back into game number five. Like you mentioned, on home ice, your crowd's going to be jacked up. What is it going to take for this team to send it back to a game six here on the weekend?
I think just keep playing the way we've been playing. Honestly, I don't think we've been playing bad. Third period, I thought we had generated tons of chances. And I think we just have to tighten up a few things defensively, and I think we should be good.
Thanks a lot for this, Bo.
Thank you.
There you go, guys. That's Bo Horvat inside the Vancouver dressing room. We'll send it back to you to continue the post-game show in our Hot Stove Lounge.
All right, Josh, thank you so much. That is from the visitor's dressing room, brought to you by Okotoks Ford Lincoln. Big city selection, friendly small town service, all in their massive new showroom. It's a short trip to big savings. Visit OkotoksFord.com. Canucks now trail this series 3-1 in a series we all thought was going to be long. Who knows? It could still be long. But here are the numbers that I think are very important, gentlemen. It's Pat Steinberg, Peter Labardius, and Derek Wills along with you. Since Game 5 of the 2011 Stanley Cup Final, where the Canucks won 1-0 and ended up taking a 3-2 series lead, since that time, the Canucks have gone 2-13 in postseason action and have been outscored 46-26 in those 15 games. And I got to say, I was somewhat astonished as to the lack of push that Vancouver had for a majority of the final 40 minutes of play. Loved their first. They were unfortunate maybe to be down 3-1 after the first, but nothing in the second. A little bit at the beginning of the third, a little bit at the end of the third, but for the majority of the final 40, there just wasn't anything there. I was quite surprised by that, and please don't take that as me taking any credit away from the Flames, because they were a part of it, but man, there didn't seem to be a ton there from the Canucks, Lou.
And yet, when you take a look at how many shot attempts they had, there was 29 on goal.
Wow.
29 at goal and 12 misses in comparison to the Flames 22, 9, and 7. So they still had the puck a lot and the majority of the time, which is why in many ways I think how the Flames went about their business defending them had a lot to say. And yet, Pat, somewhat further to your point, this is the time of year where shots, push back isn't what it's about. It's about finding a way when it matters. And they haven't been able to do it.
Yeah.
They've had a lot of good play in this series, but haven't shown very much for it.
So shots on goal, attempted and missed shots, 70 for the Canucks, 38 for the Flames.
I know.
Now, I think a lot of those shots were from the perimeter, where the Flames, and Jacques Lucier said it, they need to shoot the puck more. They're trying to create a perfect play and score that way, and they scored enough goals to win tonight's hockey game, so we shouldn't complain too much. But the Flames, in my opinion, Pat, have worn the Canucks down over the course of this series. And we're only four games into a best-of-seven series.
Let's get into that. How much of a factor is that? Because I don't disagree with you. I think that the way the Flames have gone about their business, I think, has been a very wearing thing for the Vancouver Canucks tonight, or throughout this series.
And the other thing is, I think the Flames are in the Canucks' heads a little bit here, in the sense that, you know, Kevin Bieksa, and I really admire him as a competitor. He's one of those guys who you love him if he's on your team and you hate him if he's not. But, you know, he can say that Michael Ferland hasn't been an impact player in this series. He can call him Ferkland or whatever else he wants to. But guys like Michael Ferland and the way they've gone in on the forecheck in this series, and he's not the only one. I just think he deserves probably the most credit because he's racked up all the hits, and many of his hits have been big hits. He had eight more of them tonight. They've worn down the Canucks defensemen. They're not making decisions as quickly. They're not moving the puck as quickly. Things like that, I think, have just worn on this veteran Canucks team as this series has progressed.
I think it
big
has.
Big factor for you, too.
It has been a big factor. And yet, in a game like tonight, and you talked about, you know, the shots in comparison, it's not necessarily like the Flames, because in game number three, I thought their forecheck was a way bigger factor in game three than it was tonight. I like the way they managed the game in the last two periods tonight when the Canucks headed a lot, but they collapsed well down low. They were content to flip pucks out, chip pucks out, and almost said, okay, fellas, we're up 3-1, bring it.
Yeah.
Out it goes. Okay, fellas, you're still up just 3-1. Bring it. And so the physical toll, yes, but I didn't really feel like the Canucks defense, you know, had a terrible night for giving pucks away. The Flames scored two times on the power play.
I didn't say that.
To Derek's point, like I think they're out of gas. I think they have been worn right down, and I think that plays into their lack of push in the final 40 minutes.
So they're not getting enough help from their defense to continue cycles. And
it's not just the defense. I mean, not only that, Richardson and Burrows are missing in this game.
That was a big factor.
Benino's been a non-factor. Verbata's been a non-factor. I think that this is a team that has been worn down, and maybe not just in this series, but
just on their defense.
Yeah.
I hate to single them out, but here's what I'm seeing. In games one and two, I was so impressed with how quickly the Canucks' defense got the puck out. The puck didn't stay in the defensive zone very long in games one and two at Rogers Arena. And I'm not seeing that anymore. They're not getting it out quite as quickly, in my opinion.
And I don't disagree with you. The other thing that I think the Flames' physical, push has helped is I thought the Canucks' forwards were fabulous at their puck support game to help the defense.
Yep.
Especially in game number two. And that hasn't been as good. And on the other side of the coin, the way the Flames have supported pucks themselves has been way better in games three and four.
And two other factors, not in game three, but tonight in game four, the Canucks were without two veteran forwards. And I think they missed Brad Richardson and Alex Burrows.
Absolutely.
And we've got an update on Burrows, by the way. He has been released from hospital here in Calgary. He will not travel with the Canucks back to Vancouver. He's going to stay here overnight as a precaution. So based on all the information we've received today, I'd be shocked to see Burrows back in this series.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, so would I.
Well, and apparently, and I've never had a broken rib, but from anybody who has,
I've had cracked ribs.
It's maybe the worst thing.
Know for sure it is a broken rib. The Canucks haven't said what it is.
No, although I'll give Renaud Lavoie a lot of credit.
That guy's
very rarely wrong, so it's almost as gospel. But yeah, I mean, we don't know for sure if that is the case. Quick update on the out-of-town scoreboard. 2 minutes into double overtime in Chicago, Hawks and Nashville Predators are tied 2-2. The Hawks are on a power play with 70 seconds to go in double overtime. We'll keep you up to date on this. The Hawks trying to take a 3-1 series lead on Nashville in game four of this series. Guys, it's time for the save of the game. Brought to you by Shane Holmes. For every save a Flames goaltender makes, Shane Holmes will donate $5 to Kids Sport Calgary. Go to ShaneHolmes.com for details. And tonight's save of the game comes from Jonas Hiller in the third period.
Puck at the left point. Daniels hitting a drive. Stop. Rebound. Henrik centers. Hansen. Robbed by Hiller. Now Higgins is stopped by Hiller, who holds on with 15 seconds remaining in regulation time. There's the goaltending that wins you at this time of year. That's a miraculous stop off of Hansen. Point blank through the seam. One touch. Hiller read it beautifully.
That is one of Jonas Hiller's 28 saves tonight. That means another $140 going to Kidsport Calgary from Shane Holmes. That raises the season total to $11,190. Shane Holmes committed to giving back to the community. I thought Jonas Hiller was just fabulous tonight. First period, great. Third period, really, really good. Like he was, you know, number one star quality. I know he gets the third star tonight, but he was number one star quality if they wanted to go that way tonight.
You know what I love about Hiller's game right now? He's making some spectacular saves on the first shot. It's not like he's giving up juicy rebounds and has to make spectacular second and third saves. He's doing such a great job not allowing rebounds, but when the Canucks get great scoring chances, he's there almost every single time. And this is the longest good stretch we've seen from Jonas Hiller all season, and it's when his team needs him the most.
And it goes all the way back to the night of April the 9th, the night this team in this building beat the LA Kings to clinch a postseason berth. That is when this fantastic run by Hiller started. And he has been the best goalie in this series. And don't kid yourself, you can talk about being worn down. You can talk about a lot of big factors. And there are many, many Flames young players like Ferland and Bennett delivering wonderful hockey at this time of year. But again tonight, your goalie is better. Your special teams is better. You win.
Well, yeah. And the last two games, I think it's very important to point out, Jonas Hiller gets the greater than sign, and Eddie Lack. I mean, Lack struggled tonight. Didn't mind him in Game 3, but I still thought Hiller was slightly better. Hiller's been the better goaltender in the last two games.
And it goes back to the stretch run in the regular season. Jonas Hiller, and this might surprise some people, he has now won 8 of his last 10 starts. Now, I don't have the updated numbers, but these numbers will actually improve after what he did tonight, and that stopped 28 of 29 Canucks shots. But coming into this contest, in his last 9 starts, Hiller was 7-2-0 with a 1.92 goals against average, and get this, a .938 save percentage. Stellar.
And going up from that 920 in this series that he came into the night with.
Yeah, he's now at 938 in the postseason with a 1.79 goals against average. That has been updated after tonight's big win, big 28 save performance from Jonas Hiller. Guys, the adjustment of the game brought to you by Alberta's Chiropractors. Life is the roughest game of all. Play on with help from your chiropractor. Visit albertachiro.com. I really thought the way that the Flames managed that Vancouver push in the third period, that to me is the adjustment of the game. They knew it was coming. They were aware that there were going to be chances, but I thought they did a good job in, again, limiting second opportunities. They did a good job, as you mentioned, with Jacques Cloutier blocking shots. And yeah, I thought the way the Flames managed things in the third period specifically, when you knew the Canucks were going to come, that's my adjustment of the game, Lou.
I don't know if I would go in a different direction. I just thought the adjustments that they made to Vancouver's pressure, the way they were able to get pucks out of their own zone starting from the second period on, I thought that was a big difference in the game, because the Canucks really, believe it or not, even though the score wouldn't indicate it, I thought played a pretty good first period.
Absolutely.
And found themselves down 3-1.
Yeah.
5-on-5, they were clearly the better team in the opening 20 minutes. But the Flames made excellent adjustments, got great help from their forwards. Defensemen, simple block shots, were content when they needed to flip pucks out, made really safe, smart decisions.
Well, I like both of yours, but you know what they say? Variety is the spice of life. So I'm going to go in a little different direction. Yuri Hudler, next to invisible in the first three games of this best of seven series.
I like it.
Very visible in game four tonight. A big goal, an assist, and hands down, his best game so far in the postseason. If you're going to make a run, you need your best players to be your best players. And Hudler was certainly one of the Flames' best players during the regular season. He's a finalist for the Lady Byng Trophy with two excellent players, the Red Wings' Pavel Datsyuk and the Kings' Anze Kopitar. I'm not sure if that inspired him tonight, but he certainly looked inspired in Game 4 against the Canucks.
There you go. Nominees for the adjustment of the game. Do we have a winner?
I'm going with Derek's.
No, let's go with Derek's.
Well, thanks, guys. You guys are super.
The adjustment of the game brought to you by Alberta's Chiropractors.
Great.
Life is the roughest.
Everybody's great.
Life is the roughest game of all. Play on with help from your chiropractor. Visit albertachiro.com. Lou would go against me because I've been a mouthy little brat the last couple of days.
You kind of have. So I still love you, you've been a little shy on the respect meter.
Yeah, the commissioner's got some issues with this guy over here. So
it's okay. We work it out.
Not surprised that you went against me. Let me ask you about.
I went against myself. Forget about you. I was on your page.
Let me ask you about one more potential adjustment
that
we might see for Game 5. I don't think it was the adjustment of the game. I don't think it's going to be the adjustment of the series.
The Vancouver goaltending situation?
Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, I'd be surprised if Ryan Miller doesn't start Game 5.
I would, too.
And he didn't really get tested a ton.
No,
but he made
some beautiful stops.
So how much of a factor is that going to be in game number 5?
We'll see how he responds to his first start. He certainly came in cold, not expecting to play, played so little outside of the last regular season game where he was not very good on April the 11th against the Edmonton Oilers in a Canucks overtime win. He gave up 5 in that contest, but I thought he kept his team in it at times. A couple of really big saves in that second period when the game could have gotten away for good.
And as we've talked about, not only tonight but throughout the season, if one team's goaltender is better than the other team's goaltender, and Jonas Hiller was certainly better than Eddie Lack in the first period tonight and probably just as good as Ryan Miller in the second and thirds, your team has a chance to win. And if Miller is as good as he was in the final 40 minutes of Game 4, in Game 5, he'll give the Canucks a chance to win the hockey game. But, you know, he's a guy who missed 22 of the final 23 regular season games with a knee injury, gave up 5 goals on 28 shots in a 6-5 victory over the Oilers in the one game he did play down the stretch on April 11th. So we'll see. I suspect he'll get the start for the Canucks in Game 5 as well. And he's a veteran. He's been there and done that with both the Sabres and the Blues. And I think he gives them just as good a chance to win as Eddie Lack does.
I feel bad for Lack, though.
I mean, so do I.
One rough period in the entire series, and he might be looking at being benched. And I know that that's what goes along with having a $6 million goaltender on the bench, but for a guy who outplayed Ryan Miller in the second half of the season and to have one bad period and to probably then not get your start in Game 5.
But he might.
I mean, he might. He might still.
Because of all of what you said, they might say, listen, this guy is a big reason why we found ourselves here in the first place. He had a shaky period, but we're going back to him. And yet, because they're down 3-1, I think
you might be looking for the momentum change, right?
You need something to change in your favor. Thus, if I was a betting man, that's why I might be leaning to Miller over Lack. But I could make a good argument, and I think we just did, for either guy to go on Thursday at Rogers Arena.
I don't think it's a slam dunk that Thursday means Miller time. Here's the other message that might send to the Canucks. It might say, okay, if you switch from Lack to Miller, you're in a way pointing the finger at the goaltender. But if you go right back to Lack, you can go to your forwards and defensemen and say, listen, it's not our goaltender's fault. You all need to be better. So I think Willie DeJardin's got a couple of different ways you can go with
this one.
Absolutely.
I like your point. I really do. And like I said, you can make a lot of arguments in this case for both sides, and I won't. The more I think about it, actually, it wouldn't shock me at all if they go right back to Eddie Lack as the starter in game number 5.
Big Chief Meat Snacks are the official jerky sponsor of the Hot Stove Lounge. Big Chief Meat Snacks, high protein, 100% beef snacks made in Calgary.
Bite me.
Oh, we got our tandem.
Synchronized.
Yeah.
Bite me.
Lou was so against the tandem yesterday.
I stuck up on him there.
Let's go, tandem. Oh. Derek just
won me over for the rest of the year. Like, Derek can come in and punch me in the face tomorrow, and I'll still be on board because he just tricked you into the tandem bite me. That just made my night. Let me tell you a quick.
You
little,
need a lot of sleep.
Let me tell you a quick story about Paulie. Here's how dedicated the patriarch of Big Chief Beef Jerky is.
Well, I like
one of the patriarchs. I emailed him last week. He said, hey, we're running low because, you know, like, again, it's like ravenous scavengers when this thing is full. So I emailed him last week. He couldn't get down. And so he called me today. He's like, Patty, I can't get there today. But here's what I'm going to do. I've got a little bit of stock. I'm going to send it to a security guard. A security guard's going to deliver it to you in the Hot Stove Lounge. So you've got a little bit of stock for tonight. And then I'm going to fill you up completely on Saturday. That is how dedicated Big Chief Beef Jerky is. That is Pauly, that's why it's great product.
We give him a lot of love on the radio.
He deserves it.
After that show today, absolutely deserves it.
If a sponsor were to say, hey, Pat, Lou, Derek, we're going to give you each a car. Imagine how much love we'd give them. Lots.
So the final score tonight, 3.
Just
the most shameless.
Yeah, that is a suspension. The commissioner has suspended
you. Yeah, well, you're
going
to rescind that if
shameless.
You get a car.
By the way,
if I get a car, you're free of suspension.
Thank you.
By the way, a comment that I made earlier today got me a 2-game suspension rescinded too.
That's
so
true.
I've been pretty happy. Can't say what the comment was. Midway through double overtime, it is still 2-2 Chicago and Nashville. We have yet to see a game this year go into triple overtime. They're 10 minutes and 44 seconds away from potentially doing that. Chicago and Nashville tied 2-2 in double OT. More as we continue on tonight's Hot Stove Lounge. He's Derek Wills. He is Peter Labardius. My name is Pat Steinberg. Flames win 3-1 in Game 4. They take a 3-1 series lead on the Vancouver Canucks, and we've got more on the Hot Stove Lounge next here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Flames postgame continues. Let's hear from Flames head coach Bob Hartley, Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Yeah, we managed to keep them on the outside, and especially in the third period, we knew that they would make a push, and first with the Sedins, and I felt that all their four lines, like they made a great push. Hedler was supporting the attack a lot, like Weber and all their defensemen, but we managed to keep them on the outside, and you want to spend, especially in the third period, as much time as possible in the offensive zone, but that they're going to take chances, and you don't want to get caught in outnumbered situations. So, really proud of my guys. And whenever we had, a breakdown, Jonas Seller came up with some unbelievable saves at the right time. So, total team effort.
Bob, it was nice to see, although you always had faith in the top line, but they broke through for a couple of
minutes. Yeah, we have two very young players on that line with Hoods, and it's the playoffs. We know who is their best players, and they know who is our best players. And so it's a matter of finding that space, and whether it's on the power play or 5-on-5, you need to create space sometimes. Even though it's not there, you need to be persistent. And those guys have worked so hard for us this year that I have no doubt. They're three unbelievable workers. They love to play together. Their chemistry is very good. Their team chemistry is very good. So, they gave us the first goal, and then second goal, two big PP goals. That was huge.
Bob, Sam Bennett again, finding his way to the front of the net. What is it about him that allows him to be able to sort of make that space for himself in front of the net and be such a presence there despite his size?
It's his grit. He's 18 years old and playing in the NHL playoffs with so much character. It's pretty amazing. Like, he went in the net, and, like the hockey gods rewarded him, like Brode shot right at his stick. So Sammy's great on forecheck, and, he'll learn with us. He has many things to learn. He's fresh off junior, but, what he brings is determination, his grit, his passion. That's what you need in the playoffs. Like, this kid is full of character.
When you were thinking about maybe dressing him for the playoffs after that one game, did you ever hesitate in terms of thinking about him maybe not being big enough, not being strong enough, being young?
Well, obviously, we have to be honest. Like, it was the unknown. Like, we were looking at, 14 games in the OHL and, playing against NHL players. Like, that game, our win against L.A., kind of gave us the luxury, to play Sammy in Winnipeg, and that was for him the big game that he had to showcase himself. Like, he had to show us that, hey, I'm ready for this. We knew that he wanted it. He bothered us all winter. But at the same time, it was, show us, prove it. And he didn't disappoint us in Winnipeg, and right there, our decision was an easy one. Like, we knew that he had the speed, that he could go. We were doing lots of video, every day with him, to try to speed up his progression so that we make him very good in the three zones. But, he's willing to learn. He offers a lot. He makes things happen for us. So he's a big part of this team already.
Bob, what's the key for your team going back to Vancouver, one win away from advancing?
Playing one game at a time. I know it's not great soundbite for you guys, but it has been our microwave popcorn's ready. I forgot the question there. We just have to make sure that we played all year one game at a time. So I have the utmost confidence in our players that we'll be ready. Like, we always say that the fourth one is the toughest one to win, so it's not going to be different. Like, it's two great Canadian markets, two great hockey clubs. So let's drop the puck and let's see what's going to happen in that game.
Well, would you put that stage in line together with those two big bodies on the wings? What was the thought process behind that, and have they exceeded your expectations, particularly in the last couple games?
Well, Michael Ferlin, Matt Stajan, and David Jones can play real solid two-way hockey in the three zone, which is so important. So we have the option of Backlund, Monahan, and Stajan against the Sedins. So I have confidence in the three guys, but I like the matchups that we were getting. And Jones and Ferland, they're not fun to play against. Like, they just keep coming and coming, and they finish their checks. They're disciplined. They can score goals, and they're big bodies. They lean on you. They wear you down. So and they're very responsible, like I said. So they're allowed. Their play as a unit of three, allow me to, to have all kinds of options. But they're a big part of our team since the playoffs. With Curtis Glencross trade, it opened up a big spot on the left side, and then with Lance Bouma's injury, it was all for Michael Ferland. He's built for playoffs. He wants to get there, and it's part of our roadmap. We're still rebuilding, and we want to go with young kids, and Michael Ferland fits right in.
Bob, at the tailgate party, there was a big group of fans raising money to pay your fine.
Gosh,
and,
thank you.
I just wanted to comment on just this building being so hard to play in, and the fans all supporting.
Yeah, no, they're so great. I was not aware of this. But at the same time, hey, we have to say thank you to the fans. We play hard for them. They cheer hard for us. I got a few phone calls today, and again, the players were commenting. I guess it was even bigger than game one over here on Sunday night. So, this is a great city. This is a great community. I think that we have a great relationship of respect, a relationship of trust, a relationship of love, and we want to keep it going because we feel that they're right behind us.
Bob, now that you know about it, do you plan on accepting the funds raised?
I'll give it to a charity.
There you go. That is head coach Bob Hartley following tonight's 3-1 victory over the Vancouver Canucks, and the Flames take a 3-1 series lead in this round one best of seven series. Hartley pretty happy with what he saw from his group tonight. As we continue on your Hot Stove Lounge, Pat Stuyver, Peter Labardius, and Derek Wills around the table. It's time for the Red Hot Replay, brought to you by Cal Tire. Tires don't belong in your home. Visit any one of the 16 Calgary Cal Tire locations and ask about storage for your tires. And tonight's Red Hot Replay comes at 3:23 of the first period.
And now knocks it in behind the net to Hudler. Hudler spun around by Tanev, but Weidman will sneak in and play it in behind the net. Hudler to Weidman in front. Gaudreau shoots and scores! A beautiful three-way passing play finished beautifully by Johnny Gaudreau. And the Flames score a power play goal and grab a 1-0 lead.
And the Flames would ignite the sea of red once again. That's a big goal early on to keep it very much loud in the building. And that is your Red Hot Replay, brought to you by Cal Tire. Tires don't belong in your home. Visit any one of the 16 Calgary Cal Tire locations and ask about storage for your tires. And, you know, we talked about those three top players, you know, plenty leading into this game, leading into Sunday's game three. Gaudreau, Monahan, Hudler. We already kind of talked about Hudler on the adjustment of the game, but that's two consecutive games now, Derek, where Gaudreau's been pretty dangerous too.
Yep, and you can tell early in games when he's got his A game offensively. He's just a magician with the puck. And off the air, we were just talking about his vision and how good it is, and who in the National Hockey League would compare to Johnny Gaudreau when it comes to vision?
Probably Patrick Kane would be the first guy when I think about somebody who delays and sees the game and, you know, can make great passes.
Where does Hudler kind of fit in that conversation?
His vision is excellent as well. The one thing that Johnny's speed allows him to do is create separation. And when Yuri has the puck, though, and somebody is open, I mean, he sees the game very, very well, too. Make absolutely no mistake about it.
We saw that in the pass to Gaudreau in tonight's game on the Red Hot Replay we just heard.
Pretty good night for Calgary's top players tonight. Ooh. They come away with a big 3-1 victory, 3-1 series lead now as we head into Game 5 on Thursday night. It's time for the NHL Roundup, brought to you by your Alberta Ford dealers. Ford, drive one. Let's get to the game that is going on right now, because with 4:39 to go in overtime number 2, Chicago and Nashville are tied 2-2, but for the second time in double overtime, the Hawks are about to go to the power play. A couple of notes in this game. First of all, this is now the longest game in Nashville Predators franchise history. That's number one. And number two, the Blackhawks have been involved in 6 of the last 10 Stanley Cup playoff games that have gone to double overtime or longer. That's crazy when you think about it. 6 of the last 10.
I have two more notes. Roman Josi has played more than 40 minutes in this game.
He's a special talent.
Philip Forsberg, who could be one of the three finalists for the Calder Trophy, along with Johnny Gaudreau and Aaron Ekblad and Mark Stone, four names for you right there. He just took a delay of game penalty for shooting the puck over the glass from the defensive zone. You'd hate for a great game like this to come to an end on a penalty call like that. The officials have no choice but to call that one.
No, that's not reviewable.
Here's the leading ice time getters so far. Duncan Keith, 43 minutes and 16 seconds. Nobody on the Blackhawks is over 40 minutes except for Keith. That's incredible to me. That is really incredible to me. Nobody on the Blackhawks is over 35 minutes, but Duncan Keith is over 43. As for Nashville, Seth Jones, 40 minutes and 10 seconds. Ryan Ellis, 40 minutes and 4 seconds. Matthias Ekholm, 40 minutes and 52 seconds. Roman Josi, 41 minutes and 46 seconds. A little bit different on the Nashville side of things.
Slash.
As it is on the Chicago side of things. And yes, it looks like we're going to be playing 4-on-4 for the next 44 seconds with Nashville going to the power play.
Not 3-on-3?
No, because they're 5-on-5 in overtime. So,
okay. Sorry, I'm stuck in the regular season.
Yeah, I was like, what, 33?
Yeah. Yeah, 33.
Now I got you.
Yeah.
We're going to play 4-on-4 for the next 44 seconds. And then Nashville to the power play, trying to end this game 2-2 in double overtime. We'll keep you up to date on that one. Two final scores. The story of Peter Mrazek is starting to turn into a rather interesting one in the postseason. Everybody was very interested to see who Mike Babcock was going to choose as his head coach heading into the choose as his goaltender heading into the postseason. Goes against the guy that has been there for so long, goes against Jimmy Howard, and hands the ball to Peter Mrazek. Well, thanks to 22 saves tonight with a shutout, he gives the Red Wings a 2-1 series lead in their first-round meeting with the Tampa Bay Lightning as Detroit wins 3-0. The Red Wings are doing what the Red Wings do, being an extremely difficult out in the postseason, Lou, and Peter Mrazek's a big story.
Had to be a tough decision, but Mike Babcock obviously felt that Jimmy Howard, who was not very good down the stretch, was not the guy, played a hunch, and so far the hunch has been excellent for Peter Mrazek, who was a big story in the World Junior Championship in this province going back to the year 2012.
And a guy who won a championship last season
in the American,
leading the Grand Rapids Griffins to the Calder Cup. So it's not like he hasn't been there and done that before in big games.
Very athletic.
So the Red Wings now have got a 2-1 series lead. This is a Tampa Bay team that, you know, a lot of people think is a candidate, including myself, to go deep in the postseason.
And myself.
And yet here they are.
For years to come, by the way.
And yet here they are, down 2-1 at the hands of the Detroit Red Wings. I mean, is there reason to be worried if you're John Cooper's group?
Yes, for sure there is. But they're only down one game. Mm-hmm. And a lot like many series, they better not let it get to 3-1.
That's true. And the Red Wings are trying to do that as they took Game 3 tonight. The Red Wings and the Lightning are kind of a little bit behind the curve because also tonight, Game 4 between the Washington Capitals and New York Islanders. Nicklas Backstrom scored at 11:09 of overtime to give the Caps a 2-1 series lead. Tie this series at 2 games apiece heading back to Washington, D.C. Derek, I thought this was going to be probably the closest series to call in the first round. Here we are, 2 games apiece heading back to Washington for Game 5. That can't be a surprise whatsoever.
No, not at all. And I think much like the Flames and the Canucks, these are two very evenly matched teams in the Islanders and the Capitals, and I think teams with similar strengths as well.
Back-to-back overtime games in that series as well. So they've experienced quite a show at the Nassau County Coliseum, the old barn as they've dubbed it in recent days. And I don't be surprised if that one goes 7 and requires a little overtime in Game 7. I agree, Pat. There really wasn't a whole lot to choose between those groups. And Nicklas Backstrom, there's a player that... The computer on skates, according to Bob Hartley, which, you know, for a coach who usually gives us one pretty good line almost daily,
might be the best one of the year.
That would be in my top 5 or certainly top 10.
Apparently he had a really good one in tonight's post-game scrum. Somebody forgot to turn the ringer on their cell phone off, and it rang when he was at the podium. And he said, oh, microwave popcorn's ready. That's great. He's so quick on his feet with those one-liners. That was in your phone, was it, Josh?
No.
Okay. You guys didn't find that as funny as I did, clearly, because you're not even laughing or smiling.
It was good.
It was good.
No,
it was good.
It's no computer on skates, but it was good.
Computer on skates is tough to top.
Yeah, that's a good one.
By the way, Curtis Glencross, healthy scratch for the Washington Capitals in this game tonight. They do win 2-1.
Those two draft picks the Flames got for him look pretty good right now, don't they?
And we'll see if Glencross is back in for Game 5. But that series tied 2 games apiece. Now 65 seconds to go in double overtime. Ooh. Chicago and Nashville still tied 2-2. So we'll see how this game ends up. And if we see our first triple overtime game of the 2015 postseason. That is the NHL Roundup brought to you by your Alberta Ford dealers. Ford, drive one. Now I talk about how, you know, Washington and the New York Islanders, too close to call, and, you know, this is not a surprise. It's 2-2 going back to Game 5. I thought this series between Calgary and Vancouver was, you know, too close to call and thought, it's probably going back to Vancouver tied 2-2. Not the case. Flames have got a 3-1 series lead, 3-1 final score in Game 4 tonight. Time for some final thoughts around the table, starting with Mr. Labardius.
Two words, and they're not lookout.
It's going to haunt you for the rest of your life.
Not really. I have fun with it now. Opportunistic and management. Because in the first period of a game where 5-on-5, the Flames scored 2 power play goals, they were outshot, and yet they end up with 3 goals on 7 shots in no short part due to 2 power play goals. Mm-hmm. Very opportunistic to jump into that lead. And then their ability with the lead to settle the game down, be simple, manage it, keep the Canucks to the outside, limit a ton. There were good ones, for sure. Jonas Hiller might have been, in my estimation, the best player in the game. He and TJ Brody, for me, would have been 1 and 1A if I was selecting. But they managed it really, really well in the last two periods and are, you know, going to Vancouver with a chance to close it.
Derek? 3 things, and I sent them out in 2 different tweets at Fan960Wills. What a crowd, what a game, and what a win for the Flames in front of their fans who were absolutely electric here in Game 4. I thought they might have been a little bit louder in the third period of Game 4 than they were in Game 3 on Sunday, which was the first home playoff game for the Flames here at the Saddle Dome in 6 seasons. So that says a lot about the fans and how they've come to support this team. And I know they'll be supporting them in a different way, most of them watching on TV or listening on the radio
they'll
to Game 5.
Patty at Shanks.
Yeah, maybe. Shanks, McLeod Trail South. Squeeze them in there like sardines, Patty.
It was ridiculous last Friday. Like, ridiculous.
Well, yeah. Get ready for Thursday.
I'm ready for it.
I know you are.
I'm just glad that I've got my reserve seat. I know that I've got a seat, because good luck finding one if you get there about anytime after 6 o'clock on Thursday. Good luck finding a seat.
And something we talked a lot about post-game on Sunday was no passengers. Again, no passengers for the Flames tonight. You look up and down their lineup, you can't find anybody who had a bad night. Some guys maybe didn't have as good a night as other guys. I think that's safe to say, but nobody had a bad night, in my opinion. But I want to single out 2 players, and you touched on one of them, Lou. Jonas Hiller, fantastic. Made big saves at big times, and he's been just terrific down the stretch and now into the postseason. And Jiří Hudler. I thought Jonas Hiller should have been the first star. They gave it to Jiří Hudler, and I understand why. Ends up with a goal and an assist. And I said before the game that he's just been too quiet for too long. Sooner or later, he's going to break out. And I think that Jiří getting on the score sheet not once but twice tonight is going to help his confidence going into Game 5. And if the Flames can get that top line going like it was going for most of the regular season, they're going to be a pretty tough team to beat. I don't care if they're playing the Canucks or any other team in the NHL. So kudos to all the guys tonight for a big win in front of their fans here at Scotiabank Saddle Dome. But I single out the goaltender, Jonas Hiller, for his performance, and the veteran, Jiří Hudler, the Lady Byng Trophy nominee, for his performance as well.
Tonight's game has been brought to you by South Point Toyota Scion. The Flames, 3-1 victors over the Vancouver Canucks as we continue on tonight's Hot Stove Lounge, getting closer to this edition of Overtime as well. Thursday's Game 5 goes at 8 o'clock from Rogers Arena in Vancouver. The Flames have a 3-1 series lead. Hot Stove Lounge continues next here on Flames Radio. This is Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Listening to CFAC 960 AM, Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Live from Calgary, Alberta, Canada. Owned and operated by Rogers Media. Also streaming at sportsnet.ca/960. The most interactive show on radio is coming up. The Overtime Call-In Show. More than phone calls, tweets, texts, emails, it's your show. Get your Flames takes ready. Pat Steinberg turns the show over to Flames fans coming up right after the Hot Stove Lounge. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Anticipating another pretty happy and pretty long edition of Overtime coming up in just a few minutes. The Flames are 1 win away from round number 2. Their 3-1 win in Game 4 of their series against the Vancouver Canucks gives them a 3-1 series lead in this first round series. Welcome back to the Hot Stove Lounge. Pat Steinberg along with you here at the Scotiabank Saddle Dome. It's time for the final summary, brought to you by Marlboro Ford with the all-new 2015 Ford Showroom. It's easy to get into a Ford. Check out the new lineup online, then head to Marlboro Ford to see them in person. Well,
a lot of the scoring, and by that, all of the scoring, happened in the first period tonight, and the Flames got on the board very early on. At 3:23, Calgary scores a power play goal. Johnny Gaudreau's first ever NHL playoff goal comes from Dennis Weidman and Yuri Hudler to make it 1-0 Calgary. But a power play goal draws the Canucks even in the first period. Henrik Sedin gets his first of the postseason. Alex Edler and Daniel Sedin draw the assists at 8:12. That power play goal tied the game at 1. But in a lot of ways, the backbreaker, it ends up being the winning goal. It happens 68 seconds later. Yuri Hudler gets his first of the postseason. Dennis Weidman and Chris Russell draw the assist. Another power play goal at 9:20. Flames led 2-1. And then late in period number three, they would score to make it 3-1. Sam Bennett gets credit for his second of the postseason. TJ Brody and Joe Colburn draw the assist at 19:18. Flames led 3-1 after 20 minutes of play. No scoring in the second period. And off to the third period we would go, and the Canucks knew that they needed a push, but they were unable to give it. They had a couple of opportunities, don't get me wrong, but in the end, no scoring in the third period either, and the Flames come away with a 3-1 final score. Final shots, 29-22 in favor of the Canucks. Flames finished 2-for-4 on the power play. Vancouver 1-for-2 with the man advantage. Your three stars tonight, the number three star for Vancouver was Henrik Sedin. Jonas Hiller, the number two star for the Calgary Flames, and the number one star, Yuri Hudler for the Flames with a goal and an assist. The hardest working Flame is selected by Peter Labardius tonight was TJ Brody. The Flames lead this series 3-1. Game 5 goes Thursday night in Vancouver. That is an 8 o'clock start here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. That is the final summary brought to you by Marlboro Ford with the all-new 2015 Ford Showroom. It's easy to get into a Ford. Check out the new lineup online, then head to Marlboro Ford to see them in person. Hey, overtime is just a few minutes away. If you'd like to chime in and get your thoughts known, we're kicking off the call-in program in about 5 minutes. 403-240-4444. Star 960 on Rogers Wireless. You can text 960-960. Overtime starting in about 5 minutes. But first, our final look at the out-of-town scoreboard brought to you by Reed Build Homes. Find your brand new urban country home in Unity, just 25 minutes from Calgary in the community of Edgefield in Strathmore. More info at readbuildhomes.com. Big night for Edwin Encarnacion. Helps the Toronto Blue Jays to a 13-6 win over the Baltimore Orioles. So Toronto's able to bounce back after a rough series against the Atlanta Braves. That is in Major League Baseball. In the National Hockey League, two final scores and one game still underway. They're off to triple overtime in Chicago. It is 1:08 a.m. in Chicago right now in the United Center. Still humming. Chicago and Nashville tied 2-2 in game 4 of their first round series. Hawks lead this series 2-1. We'll keep you up to date on that game as we move into overtime. Two final scores from earlier tonight. Detroit takes a 3-0 win over Tampa Bay. Red Wings now lead that series 2-1. Washington has tied their series with the New York Islanders at 2 apiece. Nicholas Backstrom scores at 11:09 of overtime. Washington beats New York 2-1 in game 4 tonight. The out-of-town scoreboard brought to you by Reed Build Homes. Find your brand new urban country home in Unity, just 25 minutes from Calgary in the community of Edgefield and Strathmore. More info at readbuildhomes.com. Well, if you would have told me going into this series that one team would have a 3-1 series lead, I probably wouldn't have believed you. But hasn't that kind of been the way the 2014-15 season has gone for the Flames? What you think might happen, what you think should happen, it doesn't seem to really happen. And the Flames have got a 3-1 series lead thanks to tonight's 3-1 win over the Vancouver Canucks. It's time for the Game in a Minute, brought to you by Jack Carter, Chevrolet, Cadillac, Buick, GMC. Get the 2015 Cadillac SRX all-wheel drive luxury crossover loaded only $300 bi-weekly. Jack Carter, Chevrolet, Cadillac, Buick, GMC. Let's bring you back to the Sea of Red at the Scotiabank Saddledome tonight.
Good evening, hockey fans, and welcome to Scotiabank Saddledome in Calgary, Alberta. Tonight, with a 2-1 lead in their Western Conference quarterfinal, Bob Hartley's Flames will renew their heated rivalry with Willie Desjardins' Vancouver Canucks in Game 4 of the Best of 7 series. Weidman will sneak in and play it, and beyond that, Hudler to Weidman in front. Gaudreau shoots and scores! A beautiful three-way passing play, finished beautifully by J.
score a power play goal and grab a 1-0 lead. Playing far side, over to Edler. Edler will go rink wide. Henrik throws it to the net, and they score. Henrik Sedin slides the puck right along the ice and right between the legs of Jonas Hiller. The Flames score a power play goal. The Canucks get one of their own, and they tie this contest at one. Pedreau will back it up to the blue line to Russell. Russell near side. Weidman a shot. They score! Dennis Weidman puts the puck on net, and it definitely bounced off a stick out in front, and the Flames score another power play goal to take a 2-1 lead. Brody to Colburn. He dances in. Colburn to Brody. Shoots and scores! What a shot and what a goal by TJ Brody, who ignites the sea of red, and the Flames score in the final minute of the first period to take a 3-1 lead. And the Canucks run out of time. Tied here in Calgary. The sea of red rises again. Following a 4-2 victory in Game 3 on Sunday, the Flames take a stranglehold 3-1 lead in this best of 7 series. They beat the Canucks by a final score of 3-1 in Game 4, and the Flames have pushed, shoved, and body-checked the Canucks to the brink of elimination.
Your game in a minute, brought to you by Jack Carter, Chevrolet, Cadillac, Buick, GMC. Get the 2015 Cadillac SRX all-wheel drive luxury crossover loaded only $300 bi-weekly. Jack Carter, Chevrolet, Cadillac, Buick, GMC. Once again, Game 5 of this series is on Thursday night back in Vancouver. The Flames have an opportunity to wrap things up in 5, and you know what? I thought the Flames were going to win this series. I didn't think it was going to happen as quickly as it might. And again, let's not forget, it's not over yet. We don't want to be putting too many carts in front of horses, and I think a lot of Flames fans are kind of doing that right now too, you know, being cautious. I'm not saying that a lot of Flames fans are putting carts in front of horses. A lot of Flames fans are being pretty cautious right now, despite some pretty cool jubilation. Sea of Red was electric tonight after a 3-1 victory over the Vancouver Canucks. Hey, when the Flames go on the road this postseason, so does Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Talk about electric. We'll be live on location at Shanks on McLeod Trail South, our home away from the Dome and our playoff headquarters, and the roof has popped off that place a couple of times already. Come join us on Thursday. Shank Sports Grill, two great locations, Crowfoot Terrace in the northwest and McLeod Trail South. Join us for Game 5 on Thursday, 8 o'clock face-off, Shanks on McLeod Trail South and Shanks in Crowfoot Terrace. For everyone involved in Flames hockey tonight, for our broadcast crew of Derek Wills and Peter Labardius, for our on-site engineers, Tim Khalil and Jeff Mason, and for our reporters, Josh Humphreys, Will Nault, and Rob Kerr. My name is Pat Steinberg. Our outstanding producer tonight has been Matty Rose. He's sticking around with us as we wrap things up on the Hot Stove Lounge. We say goodnight to Flames hockey, but overtime starts right now.